This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
32 after. Thanks for stopping by. It's a Friday morning edition of the program. Nate Lundy with you. Sean off today. We go to the hotline and welcome in from SB Nation. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. Over the course of the next handful of days between now and the draft, we're going to visit with each of the teams that has the pick in the top five, at least has the pick in the top five as of right now. So let's take a trip to pick number four. Ryan Day covering the Jags for SB Nation with us on the hotline on Twitter at Ryan Eats Cake. Ryan, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Doing well. Appreciate you making the time to join us here this morning. Let's talk about that pick at number four. First, let's operate on the assumption that they stand pat. There's no trades. There's nothing crazy that comes through. Give me three, not names, but give me the three positions that would be at the top of your list for them to focus on.
Well, if it's my list, number one is quarterback, and number two and three aren't even close. I don't think Blake Bortles is it. I think he had a fluke 2015 season, and we saw who he really was last year. And honestly, you've got a couple of good prospects. So I, at the top of my list at number four would be quarterback. Then I think that at number two, you've got, you need a pass rusher opposite Yannick Ngakoue. Dante Fowler, another first round bust in my opinion. He's not the answer at defensive end. So I think that's it. And then number three, you've got like a mishmash of positions. I would say at number three, you probably got, honestly, I'd love to see tight end. I'd love to see O.J. Howard there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think quarterback just is at the top of my list. It's at the top of a lot of fans' list, and it's because we've seen Blake Bortles for 3 years.
Ryan, let me ask you, let's stick at quarterback in a second. We'll bounce over to the other couple of positions in a second because I think you're dead on right with a couple of them. But let's talk quarterback for just a second. Is there any thought process to the fact that next year's quarterback class is considered to be a lot better than this year's?
I mean, if you've followed the draft for any length of time, you hear that every year. You always hear the quarterback class is better next year than it is this year. I think most of that is because there's not – you don't see, the more we see of the current quarterbacks, whether it's the combine, whether it's pro days, the more flaws we can see. And we don't really, you know, we only really see the good stuff in the 2018 class or the 2019 class. So I think, honestly, we have a lot of good playmakers on this roster. I'm tired of having a quarterback in Blake Bortles where it's just wasted year after wasted year. The 2018 class might have better quarterbacks. But honestly, I want the Bortles Band-Aid ripped off, and I want us to start building, like, immediately.
So let's go away from quarterback for a minute. Let's say that they don't go in that direction. You talked about getting the pass rusher, and obviously there's a couple of good ones that could be sitting there up near the top of the draft, certainly depending upon what happens at 1, 2, and 3, if we see one of the quarterbacks go, et cetera. But you do have some talent there that could wind up making an impact. Now let's talk specifically with names. Is it somebody like a Jonathan Allen, if that were to fall, or Solomon Thomas out of Stanford, if he somehow gets past San Francisco? What are you thinking in terms of that pass rusher?
I mean, I'd love to see Solomon Thomas. If he's available at four, then I'm going to be banging the table the same way I was last year when Ramsey fell to us at five. So I think he fits. I think he's an incredible prospect. He fits our greatest need on defense. Every single measurable, comes out right. I would love to see us go Solomon Thomas. Jonathan Allen, I think, he's not quite the, edge rusher type, but I think he's a phenomenal athlete. He'd be a great defensive end in this scheme. And then after that, I think one of those two guys is going to fall to us. I can't see both of them being taken in the top three, although it's right. Possible. But if one of those two guys is available, I want to see us take him. If Solomon Thomas is there, he's my first choice all the way.
Looking at what Todd McShay has done throughout his mock drafts, and we know that the mock drafts are rarely accurate, but Todd McShay makes one point that I wanted to get your thoughts on, Ryan, and that is that with the number of the amount of free agency dollars that the Jags have spent on defense – he makes an argument that going offense, and you mentioned O.J. Howard, he actually has Leonard Fournette slotted in there, that with the amount of money that has been spent on the defense from a free agency standpoint, that this team would be best served to make their pick on the offensive side. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at last year, I mean, what lost us more games, offense or defense? I think the offense lost us twice as many games as the defense, if not more so. My only problem with Leonard Fournette is I don't think that running back is as important a position as, say, tight end. I don't think running backs give defensive coordinators as many fits as a superstar tight end would. I mean, you look at Maurice Jones-Drew. He led the league in rushing in 2011. And the Jaguars were 5-11 because we didn't have a dynamic offense, and we had guys like Mike Sims-Walker at receiver. Leonard Fournette, to me, he's I don't really necessarily like him, but running back as a whole, if we took a running back at number four, I'd be really, really frustrated.
We're talking with Ryan Day covering the Jags for SB Nation here on the hotline as we will go around over the next few days on the show, get a chance to look at all the teams that are picking in the top five and what direction they might go. Is the belief, Ryan, that the secondary is pretty solid, or do you think that there's a chance that they could look at someone like a Jamal Adams out of LSU or, you know, Malik Hooker from Ohio State? Or is there a belief that they're pretty solid at the secondary and they want to look at the front seven if we're talking defense?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think it was Pro Football Focus a couple days ago that had the Jaguars going Marshawn Lattimore at number four. The secondary, I don't think, is set. I think right now you've got Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, and then Aaron Colvin, maybe, and then just a bunch of creative players in Madden. Like, you don't have someone that if either Boye or Ramsey goes down, you don't have someone who can fit that outside role. The problem with a cornerback at number four is that we literally have hundreds of millions of dollars tied up in cornerbacks alone on this roster, and we just have greater needs. Will the Jaguars look at a cornerback in, you know, as high as the second round? I think absolutely. I think they'd be better served waiting until maybe the third or fourth, because this is a really good draft for cornerbacks as well as running backs. So that's also part of my problem with a Leonard Fournette at number four, or Marshawn Lattimore at number four, is you could find great guys in the third and fourth round. So why not wait till then and get premier guys in the first and second?
Last one for you, Ryan, before we let you go. I said that we would make this conversation as though they didn't trade, but a trade is always possible. Do you think that the Jaguars would entertain that with the idea of moving back and getting some additional picks based on what you just said, the idea of depth at certain positions in this draft?
I think... you know, I think it goes against what the Jaguars have done recently in the draft, what Tom Coughlin's known for as a general manager, trading back. But don't be surprised if the Jaguars try really, really hard to trade back more than once and just get as many draft picks as possible this draft.
Great stuff, as always. He's on Twitter at Ryan Eats Cake. It's Ryan Day from SB Nation covering the Jaguars as we look at each of the teams that's got a pick there in the top five coming up starting next Thursday. Ryan, always appreciate it. I'm sure we'll visit again once we get into the summer and start to look at how the roster's come into shape.
All right. Y'all have a good Friday.
Really appreciate it. Ryan Day with us on the hotline again. He's on Twitter at Ryan Eats Cake. Always one of my favorite. Occasionally, you got to get creative with your Twitter handles, and Ryan does that. So you've got the Jaguars sitting at number four. There's a few teams to me overall in the first round, and maybe if we just take the top half of the first round, maybe the first 10, 15 picks, maybe, that there are a number of teams that I look at and say, I have no idea what they will do. Because sometimes that's because you look at a team and you say they've got more than one need. Sometimes it's because you look at a team and you say they're just flat out unpredictable. And I almost feel like the Jaguars are a combination of the two. Like, I know Ryan talking about quarterback, he wants to see them do quarterback because he doesn't think Blake Bortles is the answer. I also think that this is a team that probably needs to consider either somebody from a veteran standpoint, a trade, or to just say we're gonna give this one more shot and see what happens before they go invest in quarterback when you're picking at number four. But that also may lead the Jaguars to trade back. They may like one of the quarterbacks, but not necessarily want to do it at four. Maybe you move back to 13, to 14, to 12, 11, something like that, and get yourself some additional picks because they do need some help on the offense. But if they, would it shock me if they went with O.J. Howard? Not at all. 42 after, SB Nation.